to the operator. Confirm we're recording.
I'd like to thank everyone for standing by. The conference call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Great. Thank you. This is Jeff Newman. We're starting the call of the PDP work team of the PPSC, and I'll ask Glenn to take a roll call.
Thank you. I'll take a roll call. On the call, we have... Sorry, that was the other phone. We have Jeff Newman, who is the leader of the group, Registry Constituency, Jamie Wagner, who is ISP, Alan Greenberg, ALAC, David Maher, Registry Constituency, Brian Winterfeld, IPC, Paul Diaz, Registrar, Jacqueline de la Chapelle, GAC, Mike Rodenbach, Business Constituency, James Bladel, Registrar, and Wolf-Ulrich Knoben, ISP. Thank you, Jeff. And for staff, we have Marika Koenig, Margie Milam, Ken Bauer, and Glenda Saint-Jury, myself. Thank you,
great.
Jeff.
Did we miss anyone?
And we have apologies from Liz Williams, Christina Rosette, and Jean-Christophe Vigne.
Okay, so before we get started, thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, I just also want to announce that we're also have up Adobe Connect for everyone that's on the call. I've noticed there may be a couple people that are on the call that aren't signed on to Adobe Connect, which actually is a useful tool that I know we've used in some other work groups. Not everyone here is a member of other working groups, so I was wondering if either Marika, if you could just spend a minute or two just talking about this Adobe Connect, and then we can go through the agenda.
I'm happy to do so. Maybe I can just show people the main functions that probably people will be using today. So if you see on the left-hand side where you have the attendee list, you see everyone that's on the call. And on top of that frame, you have My Status. If you click there on the little arrow downwards, you can see that you have different options to change your status. So if you would like to speak, you can raise your hand. If you have asked a specific question, you can indicate whether you agree or disagree. You can clap if you want. So these are some tools that you can, during the call, indicate you know, what you think of the meeting, or if you want to ask a question or intervene. Then on the right-hand side, you have the chat room where you can, during the call, chat, either send messages to the whole group or also to specific participants. If you see there on the bottom of that frame, you can say to and then select the participant if you want to send a message to everyone or just to one person that you want to say something individually to. There's some discussion notes, I think, that only the presenters have access to, so staff can write there some things down that have been discussed. And we've put up the work plan so people have it online as well. So as we are discussing, we can pull up the relevant sections of that document. There's also an option for questions or a poll. So if during the call, Jeff would feel that there's a need to test the waters and see if people agree, he can use that tool and people can vote on it. So that's basically the basics of it. So I don't know if there are any questions on that. I think it's as well, play with it, you know, during the call and see how it goes. I think for all of us, it's a, you know, a relatively new tool, so you know, we have to get used to it as well and then, you know, get the maximum out of it. So.
Great. Does anybody have any questions on that?
Yeah, I don't have the link to this.
I'm sorry, who is that?
It's Jamie Wagner.
Glenn just sent out an email, and there's a Adobe Connect link. There are two links in the last email she sent, and it's the second one. If you just click on that, and then you log in as a guest, you just give your name, and then you should get access to the room.
Okay, great. Okay, well, the first thing I want to do then is kind of go through the agenda, and it's kind of a packed agenda, and then see if there's anything else, and then get started. So right now I have in the agenda a discussion of transition, along with what's going to happen with the bylaws or operating rules as of the June date in which the council is supposed to go to the bicameral, or the GNSO is supposed to go to the bicameral structure. We'll follow that up with a discussion of the revised work plan, which has been revised since our last call. Then get into a discussion of a division of responsibilities, because there's, as you'll see from the work plan, a number of areas that we need to work on. And then I thought maybe if we have time to get into some more substance, to talk about some using common terminology when we talk about different things, which is an item in the work plan that you'll see. And then to introduce a background document that staff has done with some, you know, this document doesn't have any kind of, it's not an official ICANN staff document, but just one that some people on staff had drafted, giving a background on the PDP and some of the issues that have been presented. I think it's kind of a helpful discussion, but again, it's not an official ICANN document. It's not an official ICANN position or anything. There's an email yesterday that was sent around by Margie that has that staff document. It also has the revised work plan and also the bylaws discussion that's going on. So we have Ken Bauer on the call from ICANN staff, and maybe I'll turn it over initially to Ken to talk about what staff has done, and you know how this came about, and what their expectation is for the transition. So, Ken, do you want to just spend a couple minutes on that?
Sure, Jeff. Thank you. just a point of clarification. We are still on a schedule to seat the new council in June. There hasn't been any relief given by the board so far. So that remains our current commitment to try to get this work all done with respect to just the seating of the new council. The bicameral voting methodology needs to be in place when that council seats. And I guess I should just stop there and just make sure that everybody sort of agrees that that point is understood and clear as to why that has to be the case. Okay.
Jeff, may I make a, this is Beth Holmes, just a preliminary comment. I'm a little bit concerned that at this stage of the discussion, and sorry for being blunt, the question seems to be related mostly to the moment when the voting mechanism is going to change, whereby the key reform of the policy development process at the moment, in my view, seems to be the way the initial discussion in the PDP takes place and how to build consensus from the early stages. I have perfectly in mind the deadline that June represents, but I think we are completely taking the problem from the wrong end. Sorry for the bluntness.
No, I appreciate that observation. And the reason I invited Ken and others on to talk about this subject is I wanted everyone to understand that, you know, look, voting is still part of the consensus policy process, and this was a discussion going on in a separate group about the bylaw changes, and I just wanted to bring that into here so that people understand the ramifications that the June date means that certain things may change with respect to the PDP, and for people to consider how those certain things, when they change, if they affect the work that we're doing or how things are going to work for a transition period.
Yep.
So I understand your concerns, Bertrand, and it should not take our focus away from what we're doing in the work plan and building consensus. But I also thought this was an important discussion that was going on somewhere else that I thought people here should be hearing as well.
Yes, so this is Ken again. I'll just sort of continue. So if we seek the new council in June as scheduled, we will implement a bicameral voting system at that time. Because of the changes in the numbering, the changes in terms of the houses, the stakeholder groups, and the elimination of weighted voting, where the NCAs actually participate, in which house, and so forth. So there's a whole set of complexities there that kind of require that bicameral voting mechanism. And so the exercise that we have done so far is to figure out what all the voting thresholds are, and that was fortunately done by the Working Group on GNSO Council Restructuring. And then the second question is, okay, well, how do we reflect those voting thresholds, and in what documents and in what form? And that is a subject that has yet to be fully decided. One point of view is that we should modify Annex A of the bylaws at this time. Another point of view was, let's just leave Annex A alone and do it later and simply pull the thresholds out and put them in some sort of a transition document like Article 20 of the bylaws. And that discussion is still going on. Jeff mentioned at one point earlier that, from a registry point of view, it may be that it should certainly be in the bylaws because of the contractual nature of things. And I think our lawyers are currently leaning in that direction, because I've seen an NXA revision that was crafted by Samantha Eisner and Dan Halloran. Let me stop there. Is that helpful, Jeff?
Yeah, I think that is helpful. I just want to add, so what I sent around, and I know Ken may have just seen it, was not to be any kind of official document. I sent around something called the interim, what do they call this document? Interim PDP, which was my own kind of take at taking what I saw from Article 20 and dropping that into what an Annex A in theory could look like with those new voting standards in there. It's not meant to be any kind of legal document or a substitute for what ICANN's lawyers are doing. I haven't even seen or didn't even know that ICANN's lawyers were doing that. But I did think it was important for everyone to see that so that they can kind of consider, look at Annex A as it exists, and then see what changes in theory would be made to it.
Yeah, this again, the as near as I can tell, the only thing that we have attempted to change going into the council seating or the council restructure is the voting threshold. Nothing else about the process of the policy development is being touched, to my knowledge. Just the voting threshold.
Jeff?
Yes.
This is Beth Hall again. This is indeed very interesting. One element that we should consider, I think, is that the policy development process that is structured the way it should be, and that we hope we will all agree in setting it up, is a consensus-based process. Therefore, voting is a fallback mechanism. A large part of the reform of the PDP process that has been initiated by the Board Governance Committee after long discussions was precisely to take into account the fact that the task force mechanism was basically incorporating the weighted voting from the council very early on in the process, preventing actually the creation of consensus, because people already knew basically what the voting weight in the council would be in the end, and in many cases it was a reason why not much progress was being done as soon as a majority of sorts was reached. This is the reason why, as far as I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, the reform of the PDP has those two dimensions. One, the steps in the PDP, and the second one is the working group method instead of the task force. Therefore, I think that we should be focusing as much as we can at that stage in designing a policy development process in connection with the working group model that builds consensus, that tries to achieve results that will not need the voting threshold. The voting thresholds have been set up, and I agree that those two things are somewhat separated. What I'm just a little bit concerned is that at that stage, we seem to have in mind this voting mechanism that, in my view, again, is and should be only a fallback mechanism in case the PDP has not worked.
Jeff, could I get his tone?
Oh, yeah. Alan, this is Ken. I'll defer.
Yep, Alan.
I have two comments to what Bertrand said. First of all, I thought we were talking about what we might need to do if we do not have the PDP process overhauled before the council is seated. In other words, for better or worse, we are stuck with the current process because the new one isn't developed yet, and yet there are some changes that are currently enshrined in the bylaws which don't apply in the new council structure. So I thought that's what this part of the discussion was about. Second of all, in the longer term, yes, we are hoping the working group model will get results based on consensus and large amounts of input from various constituencies and groups, and voting will not be as important. But there are also votes which council will have to take to start the process before there is a working group that existed, or to create a working group, and at some level council is still going to have to vote. So, those two.
This is Ken. Thank you, Alan. Might have said it exactly the same way. Very nice.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anyone else in the queue? And remember, you can use Adobe to get in the queue.
I tried to do that, and it gave me the microphone about 15 minutes ago. I don't know how to give back the microphone.
I think you could just go to that same arrow and hit clear my status.
I tried that several times. It doesn't work. I think someone else has to take it away.
Oh, I think that's you have the floor. I guess I have to figure out how to take that away. Maybe one of the ICANN people that are on
someone,
can
someone
help me.
Just took it away.
Yep,
no.
And now it looks like, so
no.
I have in the queue, I have...
Someone has it also.
Yeah, I have David in the queue. So, David,
yeah. I endorse what Alan said. It seems to me that we have to do something to establish these voting numbers, although Bertrand is right that the whole purpose of the restructuring of the GNSO is to build consensus. There still comes a point where you have to find out what kind of support there is for a new PDP.
Okay, and let me just add, well, if anyone else is going to get in the queue, that we need to, yes, Alan, one of the items that we're going to talk about, and one of the reasons I kind of did this little straw man document, which again is not anything official, was so people could see what it looked like and then look at it and go, wait a minute, if those are going to be changed, maybe there's some other elements that we need to insist on making changes on before the transition happens, or at the time that the transition happens. I'm not saying there are any. That's kind of why I just wanted to throw this document out there, because sometimes it's easier when people see it in a document form.
There are certainly other things that we know we'll have to change that might be changed right now because it's easy. I'm not sure that's a process we really want to do philosophically, start making half of the fixes just because they're the easy ones. But we certainly could.
Okay, so it looks like Margie's in the queue.
What I wanted to say was the voting thresholds that are in the bylaws. These are interim. So what we proposed here is interim until our group comes up with whatever we want to come up with. And if we decide as a group that the voting thresholds should be changed, then we can go back and get those changed. So these are just temporary until we go through all our work and decide whether these thresholds are appropriate.
Right. So, Ken's still on. Can I ask you to kind of expand a little bit on a discussion you and I had at one point earlier about where these things would appear? Because I think that's kind of a critical discussion that some people might want to hear.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And one of the discussions that we've been having on the staff level is whether it's appropriate to move some of the details that are in the bylaws from the bylaws to other documents, and not like currently they may be in Annex A, but they actually could be in what we call GNSO Council Operating Rules and Procedures, and that could be a document that we envision that would require board approval, so it's not like it could get changed willy-nilly. but that it doesn't have to go rise to the level of a bylaws amendment to make changes in the process if, you know, and this is envisioning flexibility and changing circumstances in the event that, you know, as we work through the new model, we decide that some things just don't work. You know, it's much easier to change the operating rules and procedures than to change the bylaws. And so that is a discussion that we've been having, is how much detail needs to be in the bylaws with respect to PDPs versus something like the GNSO operating rules and procedures.
Right. And so what I've heard from in just passing through, and again, this is not an opinion, but passing through some things I've heard from some registries and some registrars, are that, you know, the registry and registrar agreements specifically say that consensus policy shall be as defined through the process set forth in the bylaws as opposed to any other document. And the second thing I've heard is that if you take something out of the bylaws, then a violation of that does not become subject to an independent review. In other words, you can only seek independent review of a board decision if there's a violation of the bylaws. If you take it out of the bylaws, then you take it out of the realm of being able to be subject to independent review.
Yeah, and Jeff, you're raising some very important issues that, candidly, we haven't discussed internally among the ICANN staff. And one of the reasons, of course, that all the bylaws changes that we've been recommending are in the process of being reviewed by legal. And I just literally saw an email with some attachments that came from Samantha Eisner, who is the principal lawyer working on this. And she, in fact, did make language changes in Annex A. I think that is where they're coming from. And I didn't hear the rationale, but it could be very well the reasons you just stated, that we have other contracts that require that stuff to be in the bylaws.
Okay, thank you, Ken. Is there anyone else that wants to weigh in on that particular item?
It's Ellen. I have a non-lawyer comment.
Sure.
That or actually a question. That if the bylaws say there shall be a PDP process and it will be defined in the GNSO operating procedures, is that equivalent, or does the actual detailed stuff have to be within the bylaws? I don't know the answer, but obviously that's one of the questions that legal will have to look at as the decision is made.
We'll be sure to raise that, Alan.
Yep. Anybody else with any thoughts on that question? So again, I want to quickly go back to a comment that Alan had made in his first comment, which was, when people look at this document, it's not something we need to do now, we could do it on the list. When you see this new Annex A with the new voting thresholds, are there any things in people's minds or any thoughts of anything else that must be changed that must be changed on transition date, on or around transition date? Again, it's not really, it's kind of a question we'll need to think about as we go through all of these items.
Well, I have a question for you. You've made some changes that I don't understand. For instance, you replaced the term council with GNSO, whereas the GNSO is a much wider organization than this, just the counselors. And I'm not sure if you're sending a message there or that was just the words that you ended up with.
It's not a message. It's more the words I ended up with, and it was kind of weird because, again, I'm not the official person writing this, but when I looked at it and you look at the voting thresholds, it doesn't say two-thirds of the council. It talks about houses. And instead of, right, so it's a certain percentage of one house and a certain percentage of another house. So it's not a percentage of the council that votes.
I understand that, but if you look at the change you made in 1B,
yeah,
in the title, instead of council initiation, and I understand you could have made it GNSO council, but you're saying initiation by the GNSO, which implies the much wider organization of all, including all of the constituencies, as opposed to a decision of council.
Yeah, I wouldn't read anything into that. Just
okay.
Just that it was a thought of it was kind of confusing to me.
I think what resulted is more confusing. But
so,
yeah,
okay. Again, I don't want people to take this in any kind of official. No. Maybe ICANN staff will send around that that other document where changes were actually made, so it can become something official.
Yeah, that was going to be my suggestion, Jeff, is that I think that the PDP team can leave Annex A to the lawyers, and they know that the only thing that we're recommending that be changed is the voting thresholds. And so we'll make sure we get that. I'm looking at the version that the lawyers put together, and perhaps at some point we can get that circulated to your group, and then you guys will have the sort of official version of it. But I think Alan is exactly right. It has to say council. The houses actually are part of the council structure.
Okay. Any other questions on that? All right. Now, the next topic is the revised work plan, which is, it should be on, everyone should have gotten a copy of it from Margie last, or yesterday, or I guess it might have been late at night, so some people may have gotten it in the morning. I know Margie had a little bit of an unfortunate incident on an airplane and it kind of blew out her knee. Are you okay in talking about this stuff, Margie?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You're good? Okay. So what we did is we incorporated the changes from the last call, and we really want to kind of put this document to bed at this point. You know, obviously things can always change, but at least so we can move on to the substance and kind of divide up the work. Margie, do you want to go through some of the items that were changed from the previous version that we added?
Yeah, let me ask, Marika, this one's not marked up, right? Is there a way to show the markup that's easy for the everyone to see?
No, I'm afraid not. It's not possible to upload .doc document, so I had IT uploading it, but they uploaded the unmarked one. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Okay, so let me give me a minute.
The one distributed by email is marked up.
Yes, the one that I distributed yesterday was marked up. And so what we did was go through the suggestions that were made at the last call, and then we, incorporated them and redlined them so that you could see where the changes were made. I mean, Jeff, do you want me to go through each of the changes, or,
I don't think we need to do that. If there was anything, you know, the biggest item I see that was changed were a bunch of things on the adoption and implementation and D. There were, a bunch of things added. Everyone should go through this document and make sure we've captured all the stuff from the last call. We believe we have, but people should kind of go through and read it. The one item that we were kind of hoping but just didn't get a chance to do at this point was to take kind of, and which we will do for the next one, is take the existing PDP and kind of put it as to where everything, you know, which of these categories it would fall into. You know, which are part of the planning and initiation, which are the, which would fall into the next several categories. So I'm working off two documents. I'm working off the marked up one and the one on the Adobe. So which ones would fall in proposal review, voting thresholds, et cetera. Is there anyone, I know we just got it out last night, so people, it takes time. Is anyone in an initial look actually able to have any questions on that?
Yes, this is Beth Hong. I have the amended document that was sent by email. A very concrete question in the Part A, Planning and Initiation. There's a point 6 dealing with how to incorporate public comments. Have we discussed whether in the new PDP the initiation phase, which I understand is mostly regarding the preparing issues report, for instance, or taking the decision to launch a PDP, is there necessarily a phase of public comments at that stage, or could that be a decision by the council only? In terms of having maybe a shorter initiation phase and then a decision afterwards, how many public comments period are really needed? Have we really addressed this question, and is it a worthwhile one?
So we have not addressed the question of how many public comment periods. I think this was, and others can jump in, I think this public comment was more even before you necessarily have an issues report.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes now we have issues that are brought up, and again, we've got to work on terminology. But you have issues that are brought up, and even workshops or other items where, let's say the ALAC or any other body actually have an issue that they want to be discussed before they even want the development of an issues report. A lot of times in the past couple PDPs that we've done, or pre-PDPs that we've done, when staff goes back to draft an issues report, the issues are so, they're not really issues, they're more like categories or topics. And it's so broad that it's hard for them to write an issues report. So it's possible to have a pre-issues report. I don't know necessarily if it has to be a formal public comment period, but it could be something else. But it might be something that you would want to include comments from the public in before the issues report is necessarily drafted.
Jeff, it's Alan.
Yep.
I don't think that's something we want to be legislating in detail. I think we may well want some associated documents on, not a tutorial, but a guide to initiating PDPs or something, which try to outline what the characteristics are which will lead to a successful one. But I don't think we can cast everything in concrete and put public comment periods at every possible place they might be needed. You know, even going so far as what you're talking about now of dictating how another body within ICANN discusses the things that are important to it. I just don't think we can cover everything at that level of detail. You know, we may want some guidance recommending things, but I don't think we can do a lot more than that. Things start in so many different ways.
Yeah, no, and I think that's an important point. We don't want to over-legislate. We want to have certainly flexibility. But in theory, you know, something I've heard from some ICANN staffers is it's possible that maybe even before an issues report is drafted that you have a workshop at a public meeting. Maybe.
Certainly.
While that's not a formal public comment period, you will get comments from people other than those directly involved in the issue.
But isn't that already happening automatically? If you look at domain tasting, we had 4 years of discussions in public.
Right. So one might argue that, you know, we also did it for the registration abuse. I think there was a workshop even before there was an issues report. So again, we want to balance the over legislating, I think is the word you use, with actually having enough information about an issue for someone to draft an issues report. That doesn't necessarily mean there has to be a public comment period as we know them today, but it may mean that there is some fora or forum for people to discuss, and that will draw out comments from the public, if that makes sense. And again, I'm not meaning to express an opinion one way or another of how it should go. I'm just explaining the rationale as people had previously presented it and why it's...
I guess I'm just asking, are there many cases where this hasn't happened as a matter of course? I don't know the answer. Most of the ones that I can think of have been discussed almost ad infinitum several years before we get to the stage of someone doing an issues report. But maybe there are exceptions.
Margie, do you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to point out was when we're talking about this, we haven't done the analysis yet. These are just issues to talk about, I don't think we were thinking that we'd require some mandated public comments before we even do initiation. It's more this is a topic we should talk about, and maybe it is suggestions that we end up deciding that, you know, that we may encourage it, but it's not something that's required in the process.
Jeff,
okay.
This is precisely what I'm trying to do. I mean, when I see an issue, I cannot resist the pleasure of talking about it when it comes up. And so the reason why I was asking this is precisely because the expression public comments has a very specific meaning in the ICANN process. And the comments that I just heard only reinforce the reason why I was asking this. One of my major concerns is that in ICANN, there are many situations where an issue has taken a long time to be actually initiated, and I don't want to open up that stage the question that will necessarily come a little bit later, whether everything falls into the single policy development full scale type of thing. I mean, developing a policy for the opening up of the GTLD space is not exactly the same thing as taking a decision on, for instance, addressing fast flux. The thing I wanted to just raise and flag at this moment is that one of the key elements is that we want to make sure, as far as I understand, that one, when an issue becomes ripe, at least for a sufficient size of the community, there is a relatively rapid process that allows to at least highlight the issue. And in this respect, the mechanism whereby, for instance, either one SO or an AC or one house of the council has sufficient concern on an issue, maybe that is enough in certain conditions to trigger a very quick, not issues report, not a long thing, but something that highlights the different dimensions. And maybe the conclusion is that it is presented in special sessions in the next meeting so that people can briefly interact and give additional input. That's exactly the kind of question I wanted to raise.
Okay, looks like Marika's got a comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to add as well that I think I agree with what Alan said and what about transit as well, that, you know, should be a flexible mode and doesn't necessarily need to be a public comment period, but it could be as well, you know, in doing an issues report, there might be indeed specific questions from staff that they would like to see answered, and it might be, you know, requests for information, you know, for certain data or, you know, evidence surrounding a certain issue. So I think maybe the phrasing should be different here, but again, I think it should be a flexible mode because certain issues might not require that. They might be very straightforward and, you know, don't need any further information, and have a discussion indeed after the report is published where you then maybe have public comments and then move forward from that. And just for the record, I wanted to say as well that actually the registration of use policies workshop did take place after the issues report was already out.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the correction.
I think we have to keep in mind as we're doing this that the policy development process in ICANN takes an enormous amount of time, and we are continually subject to criticism because of the amount of time it takes for perhaps even the simplest things. And I think we need to keep that in mind as we're developing this process.
Hi, Jeff. Can you put me on the queue? This is Sophia.
Hi, Sophia. How are you?
I've been listening in the background.
Okay. No, that's good. I'm glad you're here. Did you, before you, I'll call on you, but have you seen the link to Adobe Connect?
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, but I didn't get there yet, so.
Okay. All right. Well,
in a minute, yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
sure.
There's a queue process there.
Yeah, but you're the only one in it, but at this point, so
okay.
I'll let you, What's the comment you have?
Okay, I just want to say, yeah, on this particular process that everyone is commenting, very, very important. As I have been part of, you know, the PDP in the past. Margie is very right in terms of saying, let's put it as flexible as possible. I think putting rigid words will be restrictive, and people probably will chase after that if we have to say, you know, we need to go to public comment on this. So in order to avoid this, I think somehow the wording and the language could be modified to say flexible either or. That's very, very important because, like, I think everybody agrees that the whole process drags and drags for years, and people, you know, we lose people in terms of continuity and so forth, even to go back to the original language we have designed initially. So I think it's very important. So I agree with some of the comments that were made, and particularly the way that Margie has presented it. So I to change the language, that's all.
Okay, thank you, Sophia. Anyone else in the queue? I don't see anyone in the queue on Adobe. Okay, is there any, so at this stage, again, we're kind of mixing, we're just trying to get the issues out there. I know people are itching to talk about substance, which I think we do need to get into. Does anybody have any questions on anything that we added to this document as issues, and then we could talk about dividing responsibilities and working on a substance? Seeing no one in the queue and hearing no. If you look at the work plan, then there's, as we've decided from the beginning, there are five elements of task one, as part of the PDP, and then there's several elements of task two, which, if you look, it's F through K. that all need to be addressed. I think some of those issues in Task 2, like translation, some of those elements either can wait a little bit, or are overall principles that should be considered in Task 1. So, you know, for example, timing is in Task 2, but it's something that you will probably be thinking about as you address each of the things in Task 1. Same thing with alignment with contractual requirements. I'm sure that the registries and registrar participants will certainly be bringing that kind of stuff in. So what I want to do is look really primarily at Task 1, and since there's a lot of work to be done, we need to kind of figure out how we can break up initially into some smaller groups, and you can participate in as many as you want, to just start putting pen to paper on some of these concepts. Is there some noise in the background? Is that someone running away?
Before we talk about substance, there's a new PDP work plan, or draft work plan, on Adobe right now. It says without markup. Sorry, I thought there was a new one added with markup, because it got refreshed a while ago. Sorry.
Yep.
I withdraw my comment. I thought it was changing.
But Alan, since you've spoken, is there any area you'd like to... what we need to do is figure out who's interested in which areas, and then kind of break off into some teams to do this.
I would like to see first everyone who has any interest go through that whole thing and just make some notes on each of the items that they care about, so that the people working who are selected to work on it are not just working at it in a vacuum, but have the whatever insight anyone else would like to contribute at the beginning. Otherwise, we end up with the whole work group, with the work team, only looking at it after the work is done. And I always find that somewhat counterproductive.
Okay, so your suggestion is then give a week or two for people to just jot notes in there and their thoughts on those issues.
Yep.
And then after that, then
I'm
take...
Not quite sure how we consolidate them, but yes.
Okay. I think that's a good suggestion. Is there any other comments or thoughts on that suggestion from Alan?
I think that's a good suggestion. I second that, Alan.
Was that... who was that just spoke?
This is Sophia. Yeah.
Sophia, sorry. That's just for the recording and until I recognize everyone's voices as well.
Still trying to get to Adobe. Lost the email.
Sorry that it's a little difficult.
Jeff, this is Beth Hall. Sorry to chime in again.
Yes.
While you were speaking, I'd like to just briefly get back to the discussion we had just a minute ago and insert a comment. While you were talking, I was also having a look at the mechanisms that are used by other organizations, and including the W3C. I'm less familiar with what the IETF does, and I think we've agreed in a previous call or discussion to try to draw lessons from the way it's being done there, or maybe it's in the working group work team. The interesting thing in relation to what we were saying is that the W3C, for instance, makes a distinction between working groups and interest groups. And the difference is that working groups produce deliverables. It can be a policy, a recommendation, or a standard, or whatever. And the interest groups are groups that actually are set up to address a specific issue, either spontaneously or to prepare for the work. I was wondering whether the one thing we could envisage, and it's just a suggestion at this stage, is when an issue emerges, before even it is taken to the council or to a lot of other spaces, in the spirit of the new format, is there any possibility to have a sort of consultation or a grouping of a few people from the different constituencies of the different SOs and ACs and so on to just, with connection with the staff, prepare something that is not even an issues report, but just maybe a one-pager to highlight the different dimensions from the viewpoint of the different actors, even before we start discussing whether policy development process is needed. Because, as that's my last point, during the SOAC discussion on the PDP in Mexico, one thing was very, very interesting, and I wonder if it's not you, Jeff, who was asking this question, is to discuss whether a policy is needed. In certain cases, other tools might be useful. Would this distinction between working groups that have the function of providing deliverables and the initial part that could be done by a contact group that would be set up relatively informally as soon as somebody raises an issue, isn't that a distinction that would be useful to consider?
So what that sounds like to me, Bertrand, is something similar to some stuff that's been going on with some recent issues that have been brought up, that even before a formal PDP is launched, and it may be after an issues report, but it certainly doesn't necessarily need to be, that a group gets together to discuss which elements should actually move forward into a PDP. Right, an example, and Marika, maybe I'm misapplying this here, but isn't kind of the registration abuse something sort of like that? The group that's formed now is not really a working group or task force in the sense of the bylaws within, you know, for a PDP, but it's trying to get together to see if, to define certain things like what is registration abuse, even before a decision is made as to whether to launch a formal PDP on that issue.
Yeah, that's the issue scoping thing, I think.
It's partly as well because, indeed, when the issue was raised, there wasn't a specific issue raised. It was more, you know, can staff investigate what provisions currently exist on registration abuse? So you basically came back and said, well, we don't think it's a good idea to launch a PDP on that because there's no specific issue identified. So that's indeed why we recommended to have a pre-PDP working group to, you know, for people to come together and really identify which are the very narrowly defined policy issues that we're trying to address or that should be addressed in a PDP to make sure that, you know, we have something that can have a deliverable. And we have seen in the past with working groups that did not have a very narrowly defined issue that discussions would go in all kinds of directions, and it was very difficult to come to some kind of, you know, recommendation because people would have a different understanding of what the issue actually was. So that was one of the reasons why, indeed, we strongly recommended to go down this path. And indeed, this group is supposed to, you know, come back to the council and identify which issues, if any, are suitable for a PDP.
Right, and that kind of fits into, although it doesn't have the same terminology as Bertrand was saying, it sort of fits in that type of model. So the answer to your ultimate question, is that out of the realm? The answer is no. I mean, you could certainly do something like that if that's what the group and the council and others in the community feel is appropriate. So going back, I think, to Alan's recommendation, which, you know, I think is a good one, is, and I'm hoping people contribute a little bit more on the list. I know the list has been sort of quiet. And it really kind of encouraged, you know, we can move this group along faster if everyone kind of puts their thoughts down and sends it via the email list. Otherwise, I mean, I could put my thoughts down and send it around, but that's not really the role of the chair or, you know, I want to encourage everyone to kind of get their thoughts down on paper and get it out there. So the proposal is then to just put this out until the next meeting so people could, or actually make it, you know, if we can get thoughts on that by a week from, I was going to say a week from today, but some date before, we'll have to scope out, we'll do a doodle as to when we have the next meeting, and then, you know, hopefully get all the comments in a few days before that meeting so we can have a little bit of time to consolidate those into one document if that's possible.
It's Alan. That also has the advantage that forces people to actually have read it and gone through it, and we may be in a better position to get volunteers for who's going to work on each part.
Right. Otherwise, I'm going to do like we, when I went to law school, we were just picked on, and we had to do these assignments. It wasn't our choice. So if there's an area that you really hate, you might as well you get your stuff in on the stuff that you like and volunteer so you don't get put in that other category.
May I suggest something? Sorry, I'm still trying to get to this Adobe thing. It's not working, but this is Sophia.
May I suggest that maybe Alan start that process and then kind of circulate and we can plug in and so it's easier for us because you have articulated the initial thought process?
Well, I think all of the issues are laid out there in the work plan. It's all, you know, there's 11 issues under topic A.
Right.
There's a number of issues under B. I think it would go a little too slow if we waited for one person to jot down their thoughts and then pile on.
No, I'm just saying you can just put out whatever structure or format you're saying. I mean, instead of us going, I want to be A, B, C, D. One person can just initiate that, and then we can kind of put ours in it, so it's not going to be in different formats. I was thinking more of a style and a format to expedite the whole process going forward.
Oh, it's from a format standpoint?
Yeah, like whatever you say just now, if you could just put it on the email list and say, this is my thought and this is the areas I've picked for myself, and then we go in and just plug that in, and that would facilitate instead of people thinking always psychologically, okay, where do I start and how do I put it here? That's all. It's just what you just say, put it on paper. I mean, that kind of pushes the process forward.
Right. Okay, let me, Margie and Marika are on the phone. Maybe after this call we can figure out whether there's maybe a standard format that would make it easier for people to respond.
Yeah, it just gets people going faster instead of everybody trying to start where. I mean, should we say A, B, C, D, or 1, 2, 3, or this area? Do we cut the, you know,
every little comment does have its own unique number, so
yeah,
it can be that hard to track them.
Yeah, just kind of thinking of what might be useful, maybe just an email with the number and the letter, and then we can plug those in.
Or one could set up a spreadsheet with the numbers and even the text, and then people could fill in their columns, and then that would be easily mergeable to merge them all.
You mean like an Excel?
Yeah.
Jeff, this is Jeff Hall again. Sorry for being the unpleasant commenter here. In terms of method, I wonder whether it wouldn't be better to just take collectively one item after another, like devoting time altogether to A first, and then B, and then C, and then D, just as to move forward in the policy. Because fundamentally, what we are doing here is, in a way, a policy development process. Define a policy development process, right? So what I see here is that the problem we're facing at this stage, even after many conference calls, is that we still have difficulties starting to address the concrete issues. And the reason why we have this is precisely because of what we were just saying before. It discusses a long time. It takes a long time to discuss the methodology by which we're going to address something, whereas I think we have almost started to discuss the first thing, which is when the initiation takes place, do we do comments? Yes, no. Do we set up a sort of pre-DP group informally? Do we request that the issue is scoped enough before the policy process is launched? Because otherwise, and I respect very much the work that has been done by the staff, it is, as usual, a tremendous amount of work. The problem is that now we are going to make sub-quotes and comments completely separately instead of discussing together what each step is. We did very good work in Mexico and since then in identifying more or less the different steps. Wouldn't it be better to take just one step after another and discuss it in the conference calls and then summarize it and make the comments on the summary?
So, Vetran, you're kind of a step ahead of me. What the plan, my thoughts were on that would be to get everyone to jot down their thoughts on all of these items. And then after the next conference call, organize topic-only conference calls where that team that's working on it would then present to the rest of the group their thinking, and it would only be, you know, let's say Team A for the next conference call. that Team A would hopefully have gotten together and done emails amongst themselves to figure out some more substance and then hash everything out on that Team A call, and then Team B, and then Team C. So it's that each of the calls, after we get done with all this logistical stuff, would be specifically focused on one topic.
It's Alan. I think the difference between that and what I thought Bertrand said is if I'm on Team B, but I happen to have some ideas on Team A, what you're describing won't give me an opportunity to present those myself. Whereas I think what Bertrand said is anyone has an opportunity of commenting on the items as we go through them.
Well, anyone's got an opportunity, let me just clarify, anyone's got an opportunity in the next couple of weeks to jot down their thoughts on
any
of these,
but not on the call.
Right, and then, I mean, you could be a part of whatever sub-team you want to be on.
Yeah, no, I was just highlighting what I think is the difference between what the two of you were saying.
But I do think it's kind of merged in the sense of...
When somebody does the presentations, I think as a group, anybody can comment.
Correct.
Contrary or not. So, I mean, it's just to get the group going and expediting and everybody participate, I think.
I'm just wary in all the experiences I've had with all those working groups. We spend a lot of time subdividing in groups. Which ends up having one or two people in each group. I see that on the work team, on working group. We subdivided item 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 2, 3, 4, and so on. And I personally would prefer, and there is indeed a difference, and if the group prefers to go the other way, I have no problem. But I think it would be much more productive, for instance, on the calls, we spend one call with everybody on item A, then a call on item B, without having necessarily a sub-team that aggregates, because you said it before. Actually, the comments on the list are very rare. I would very much prefer to spend a full 1 hour with everybody just trying to dissect what we want each stage to be, what are the problems, what are the things that have to be presented, so that we get a common feeling of what the PDP should be, rather than having sort of Excel spreadsheets with thousands of comments, or none, by the way, and having a huge difficulty reconciling all the different... That's my way of working, and I'm not familiar enough with the way it works in the GNSS.
Okay, I guess it was...
I have a comment on that, if I could.
Sure. Why don't you go first, Alan?
Okay.
Right?
A very quick one and a politically incorrect one. I completely support what Bertrand is saying, although I'm a little worried that it's going to take too long to do it, but I support the process. But what you're really describing is you suggest the task force of the whole do this work instead of delegating it to work groups.
Yeah, I guess, and so my thinking behind it was there's so much here, right, so that even if we went through the opposite way, so we all put in our comments now for the next couple weeks, and then we do topic A as a whole, someone after that call or some people after that call need to do the actual writing and aggregation of the comments and putting it down. And
That's fine. That goes exactly the other way around. And then two people can say, okay, we'll summarize. This is different. I agree with you, Jeff. That's absolutely true. And it works very nicely this way. Everybody speaks, and then two people say, okay, I raise my hand, and we'll draft the summary.
What if they don't?
That's a question of responsibility.
Cut their pay.
So let me try a little compromise here, then. Why don't we make the next call on topic A?
Mm-hmm.
But I do want people to submit comments beforehand on everything, if they can, so that we can make sure that things go forward. That if we just do our next call on topic A and don't have people that make comments beforehand, then we're just going to be in this call where I have a feeling it's going to turn into something like the FastFlux work group, where just there's comment here, comment there, there's nothing for people to refer to. So why don't we then, we'll make the next call on topic A, but implore people on the list to put down their thoughts at the very least on topic A, but hopefully on each of the topics.
So we're doing a test run and see if it works or not.
Yes, we'll see if it works. And then after we get done with that call, the last agenda item of that call will be, okay, I mean, someone will take notes and there's recording. So whoever takes notes then will then try to solicit a team of people on this group to help that person write up something that reflects the discussions from the call so we can move it forward. And that's at the same time, so then the conference call after that will be on B, and we'll see if it works with A. If it doesn't work with A, then we might have to go back to the old way.
And project how many years it will take to do the whole thing.
Yeah, well, and the other thing this brings up, though, is the need to have a call more often than just once every other week. Because if we just did once every other week, we're not going to be done with A through E for at least 10 weeks.
Why?
That's my simple math. So what I'm going to do as well is send around doodles for the next several weeks and see if we can try, if people are available, to try to do a call once every week or once every 10 days or something on a more frequent basis than once every 2 weeks.
But can I pick Jamie?
Absolutely, Jamie, yeah.
I fully agree with Bertrand, but and with your suggestion that make it a test. But I would add that the issues, each issue, the six issues to be addressed, would somebody would prepare some questions, the main questions about them. And what kind of decision and to direct the decision that should be made at the call. This would make the discussion much more objective, not just titles to be addressed, but also the questions that should be answered during this call.
So let me just drill down on that a little bit. So right now it says under planning and initiation, question one, who has the right to initiate a request for an issues report?
Yes. This is the only one that isn't the form of a question. The sixth one. But it's back on the third. Okay.
Okay, so that's... there's actually 11 items, I think, in A, but... I got to turn to the next page. So,
okay.
I mean, everyone should... Let me see if there's a way we can make those a little more clear. But I think people, if you don't understand any of the items, then maybe we can drill it down that way.
Yeah, if there is options, which are the options that are already being discussed.
Okay. Any other thoughts or questions on that?
I'm not sure, it's Alan, I'm not sure how much we want to limit what people are saying by putting specific questions or options to bed.
One thing that, so one thing that might help, and I will put it on myself to do, if not over the weekend, but by Monday, is to, like for A at least, to take the existing PDP and say, here's what the existing PDP says on the planning initiation, and here's how it would answer those questions, or may not. Like, it may not even be addressed. A number of those things are not even addressed. So that will say how it's done today, at least according to the bylaws, how it's done today. That might give a better base for people to comment on it, say, yeah, I don't like that. I think it's been terrible from past experience. I think it can be improved in this way. That may help. So it looks like Margie's raised her hand.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I was going to ask a question about a separate topic. It was on our agenda for later on. And it's this background document that staff put together that you mentioned earlier.
Right.
It may be useful for you guys to read that just because it just raises a lot of issues on some of these topics, and that might help you come up with some of your questions or suggestions after reading that document.
Okay.
Doug?
Yes.
This is Bertrand. I think you're putting it down to the right procedure. That is, if the next call is a test on A, there are 11 questions, and then people in the group are indeed, as you said, encouraged before the call to basically send, just by mail, on the list, brief comments or detailed comments on each of the 11 topics. If we have time enough, all of them, we will be able to read them, and hopefully during the call, we can have on each of them at least a clearer vision of what either the agreement is or whether the question has to be dealt with further or if there is a strong disagreement on something. I think it's a combination of what you had in mind and what I was suggesting, and maybe this first case will be a good test.
Yep, I think that's right. Jamie, you have your you want to say something again, or is it just that microphone's left up there?
It was just the microphone that I couldn't.
Okay, sorry, I can clear that. I got lost there for a second. Anybody else have anything to add on that?
I have a. It doesn't really belong here, but I'm not sure where it belongs. Every time we have a discussion like this, we keep on apologizing for the confusing nomenclature.
Yeah.
At some point, we have to come up with some new nomenclature. In the current Annex A uses the term initiate PDP or commences PDP in three different ways to reflect different points in the overall stream. And along the way, we do have to fix that.
So, Alan, you just did a perfect transition to agenda item 4, which is common terminology. That's what I meant with common terminology,
okay.
So that we're all talking about the same thing. So thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure.
So, Alan...
I'll send you my bill.
Alan brings up something that we all struggle with every day when we're trying to... The PDP, as it's referred to now, actually refers to two different things. It refers to the overall policy development process, but it also refers to the specific thing or sub-process that the council at a point in time in the whole small policy development process initiates that formal proceeding. And the formal proceeding is known as the PDP. So the very first thing I think we need to do is come up with some sort of terminology we can use to divide those two things up. And it could be as simple as calling the entire thing well, you don't want to make it too confusing, but you know the entire thing is the policy process, and then it's divided into the policy initiation process, then maybe the policy development process, and then maybe the policy implementation process. But you know, they all have similar terminology. So if people have thoughts on that, I have not been creative enough to come up with good terms for each of these. But if people have ideas, I strongly encourage you to bring them up and think about how we can call these things. How we can come up with a name of the overall process, or whether we keep the name of the overall process, the policy development process, and how we come up with terminology or nomenclature for the subcategories or sub-processes within the PDP.
It is in keeping with ICANN to keep confusion there. Someone asked me the other day to explain how the term constituency is used in ICANN. And I thought I did by using the term uppercase constituency and lowercase, until it was pointed out that the GNSO regularly uses the uppercase formal constituencies without an uppercase in it.
Right, and then it's going to become more confusing when we have both constituencies and stakeholder groups,
yep.
Which a lot of people refer to stakeholder groups as different things.
So maybe we should keep confusion there just to keep the general feeling.
Well, my goal is I haven't done my job if we don't try to clear up the confusion.
You're a lawyer. You can't leave things too clear.
That's right.
Sorry about that.
Well, no. So actually, it's funny. On an off comment, when I was doing this exercise on the bylaws, trying to come up with the difference between a supermajority vote in general versus a supermajority vote of the GNSO, which are two different things. Because in general, in the PDP, you have a supermajority if you have 66% of people voting in favor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so during a task force under the existing PDP, in theory, if 66% of the vote 66% of the people voted in favor of it, and that's using weighted voting, by the way, then you would have a supermajority. But under the new rules, a supermajority is defined as 75%, but that's only of council members, but doesn't comment on whether that supermajority also has to apply within a working group or task force. So now that you're all thoroughly confused as I am...
Oh, I can confuse you more. we were unclear when we specified those, whether it's N percent of those present or those in the group.
Which still has to be answered, actually. Which is still one of the questions that... actually, Margie and Marika, one of the things I do want to do is arrange for a call with some of the other groups, because, Alan, on that issue, I don't know if that's an issue that some of the operations committees are looking at, or whether that's completely within our discretion, or certainly within the working group team. So we need to figure out a way to coordinate that with the other groups to make sure we're not double covering these issues.
Are you talking about the terminology, or just in general?
Not necessarily on terminology, more in general on things like when a vote is taken. Let's say it's within a working group, or even within the council, whether that vote means of the people present, or whether it means of the total within that.
Okay, I see.
So I think that might be a question I heard operations maybe looking at, but there's going to be some overlap.
But there's policy issues. It's not just an operations issue.
Right, right.
So your suggestion is to have a call?
Yeah, if we could just arrange a call for at least initially with the chairs of the groups so that we can just all get on the same page as to what issues they're addressing. So
okay.
To not have duplicate work.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And then if there are areas where there's duplication, at some point we may organize a joint call on those specific issues, so that we can understand where they're coming from and they can understand where we're coming from.
Okay.
Okay, so that's one of the areas of common terminology that we'll need to address is what do we call the overall process versus that sub-process that is our task one letter C.
Jeff?
Yes.
Following this question, I'm just sending a proposal on this nomenclature that basically distinguishes between, under the general heading of GNSO policy process, as you suggested.
Right.
The stages of initiation, development of recommendation, adoption of recommendation, implementation, enforcement or compliance, and evaluation, which is the end of the loop when we potentially have to evaluate later on whether the policy works correctly and goes back to initiation. So it's just for starting the discussion. I think you're absolutely right in the confusion. So if people want to comment on that, that would be great.
Great. Thank you, Bertrand. And there's going to be other terminology that we might want to also think of getting clear on as we go through this. So is there any other questions on that item? The last item we have on the agenda, which is Margie had already introduced, is the staff background document. Is there anything else you want to say about that, Margie, other than just let people read it, comment on it? If I'm thinking correctly, this is the document, and you guys also expressed some of the issues that you've seen in that paper, and issues that you being staff would like to see resolved as well. Or is there more on that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's comprehensive. It's just given we're involved in this process and the details, it's just observations of issues that we've seen. So it's not comprehensive. Like you said before, it's not some official ICANN position. It's just suggestions for the group to think about.
Great.
And I presume you want comments of things that other people see that you didn't mention.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just to put ideas forward, and, you know, and they'll be part of the other, you know, comments from everyone else as well.
Great. Now let me summarize where I think we are and the future steps to make sure I have everything here. So the next call that we set up, and we'll set up a doodle for some point within the next 2 weeks, hopefully closer to a week or a week and a half as opposed to 2 weeks, but we'll set up a doodle for actually the next few meetings. The next meeting, the topic will be A, task one, letter A, and we, in preparation for that, we'd like everyone to go through these issues, to read the staff paper, but also to go through these questions, sub-questions, at the very least with A, but hopefully on the entire document and the work plan, and just supply initial comments, which I'm hoping will give us some good discussion items for the next call. And if people could do that, at least with respect to A, within the next week, so by Friday the 10th, today's the 3rd? Yeah, the 10th. If we can have that done, so that we could set up a call for maybe Monday, Tuesday, or at the very latest Wednesday of the following week to go through topic A. I will also then take the existing PDP and put it into this format with these questions that are being asked, so you can see where everything fits in today. And it might help you also to make comments. Is there anything else that I missed there, Margie, for the next call?
It looks like Gene, you had a suggestion about possibly talking about the bylaws issue again at the next meeting.
Yeah, I think I'm assuming we won't have the time.
That's a good question. So the bylaws, they're not out for any kind of comment at this point, correct? They're just thoughts right now?
Excuse me?
No, the restructure ones are out for GNSO comment.
Yeah, I went through that. I love it.
Yeah, that's right. They're out for GNSO comment. It's not a small public comment period.
We're not looking at the GNSO restructure. We're just looking at the implications of the PDP change.
Or the structure change on the council.
So let me just ask another question. So it was sent out to members of the council
and to the heads of each of the constituencies.
Right, but there's no formal comment period. I mean, is there a day that you all expect comments by?
No, it's no formal comment period. We were just trying to get the dialogue started on what the restructure would mean in terms of bylaw implications. And so there's no deadline on it. And what we need to focus on in our group is you know, whether we want to revise the transition, you know, sections.
Margie, in terms of timing, assuming council does not at the next meeting 2 weeks from now approve the words that are on a paper somewhere, Is there any conclusion one can draw about the overall timing of the phase-in and whether it will be still done for Sydney?
Our
question is, are you expecting the GNSO concurs before the board passes the bylaws?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, if everyone was in agreement, and that's a big if everyone was in agreement on the bylaws, at the next council meeting, you guys would, you know, approve them. And then I believe it would go to the board, and then it would go to public comment.
Right, but assuming that cannot happen, and I believe since council hasn't come to closure on it by today, it's not likely to happen. Does that imply that the new structure will not be phased in Sydney? I know it's not your decision to make, but is that your gut feeling?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we don't want to be the ones pushing for a delay, but it's looking less and less likely because of the time periods involved with, you know, with getting approval on the bylaws, getting it up to the board,
Sydney's in June. So, yeah, it's looking less likely.
Takes somewhat less pressure on, off, or takes pressure off us also.
Right.
Well, okay, and I think I'm going to, we need to also follow up with Ken to see if we can get that legal document that's somewhere floating around to get that actually the formal changes sent to us so we could see how that would work.
Well, yeah, I'll take that up as something to do.
GNSO would have to see that also.
Yeah, so we would circulate it to both.
Okay. Any other questions?
No, thank you.
All right. Well, I appreciate everyone's time on this call. We kept it to an hour and a half, and apologize for those in Europe and elsewhere that it might be running late on a Friday for us. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. Bye.
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 All right.
Journey.